just to go to get a little bit of information about you, and then it goes wherever you'd like to take it in terms, and really based on your own experience and what you prefer to talk about. But we're trying to focus in on essentially the way in which people made a living, where they lived, any memory that you have of what Providence looked like.
From what period now? From 1920?
Well, you can go back to as early as you can.
1920, I didn't make much of a living. I was a junior at Brown.
Well, but your father and yeah. Mother, mm-hmm. We can talk about them, and yeah. Then how you got to be a student at Brown. So your full name is Walter Adler.
Yeah. You want the Hebrew name?
No.
Zaev Nasher.
It's not that we haven't gotten that before. So
Zaev is Hebrew word for wolf, and Nasher is eagle.
Yeah? Wolf eagle.
I studied a lot of Hebrew.
Sounds like it should be an Indian name. For
not here, Walter.
For what's today's day? 10, 84. And what's your address, Mr. Adler?
33. Stadium Road, practically around
right
the corner.
Around the corner.
Yeah.
Good.
We've lived in that shack. November will be 50 years. We saw the stadium built. These buildings were built there. Mm-hmm. Nothing. This is
there
swamp.
Was nothing, yeah.
This is a botanical garden all the way up to Morris Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
We used to go there.
So
we used to slide down Doyle Avenue.
Were you living there then when they built
Oney
the temple?
Street. Oney Street. Mm-hmm. Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Judge Jocelyn's father
yeah.
was the first president. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Well, I lived on Oney Street from the mm-hmm. time I was 3 years old. You know the Star Market?
Mm-hmm.
My father had a grocery store, and he started in 1901.
What was your father's name?
Joseph.
Joseph Adler.
Yeah.
And was he born in the United States? Or?
No, he was born in Austria, about 35 miles south of Vienna.
And when did he migrate?
1899.
Okay.
My grandfather died.
You were born 4 years later.
No.
How many years later?
No, I hate to tell you, I can never be president of the United States.
Oh.
Because I was born there.
You're
I
born
came
in
here. I was 2.5 years old, not quite 3.
Mm-hmm.
I remember it well. Everything about it.
Well, tell us about,
about
it.
I don't remember anything about the countryside.
Were not at 2.5, but
no.
What's your earliest memories? Do you have any memories at all of the old country?
Oh, no.
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 No, so you would, your memories would be here?
No.
What about your father or your mother talking about the trip over? And?
Well, they said nothing. I suppose they went steerage. No, I don't know. My grandfather came here. My grandfather opened a business in the 1890s on North Main Street, the corner of Star. You know where this church is?
Mm-hmm.
You know the...
The cathedral.
Well, yeah, St. John's.
St. John's Cathedral.
Well, that's where I learned to play basketball in the basement. I used to go down on the weekends.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my grandfather came in the 1890s. I think his son, Bernard Pulver, P-U-L-V-E-R, came here before that. He was apprenticed to a lawyer in Vienna. He came here at 17 years old. And my wife's uncle, her mother's brother, Manchel, also came from that area, and he came to Providence about the same time. And it's a strange thing, and both of them developed, when they got here, they were about 18 or 19 years old. There were organizations, the Jewish organization, and two separate organizations. Each one was handsome and a very nice talker, and each used to be the chairman or speaker at any banquet that they had, every gathering, and there they were. And later on, Pulver, my mother's name was Linda, her mother was Linda, married Pulver, and Pulver married Adler.
Mm-hmm.
When the Lindas, the Stephen Linda here is a lawyer, well, his father, it was a second cousin of mine,
mm-hmm.
and Stephen is a third cousin. And Linda married Pulver, and Pulver married Adler.
So your mother's family was here before your father's
That's
family
right.
came.
That's right.
So they came earlier, slightly earlier in the 1890s.
I'll tell you, I'll tell you a very nice story. When my grandfather came to America after his son Bernard Pulver came here, then they sent for my father. My mother was very lonesome for her father and mother and her young sister, who later became a Steiner here in Providence. And they insisted that she wanted to come here. She didn't want to stay there alone. The parents gone, the brother gone. There were the two of them and her younger sister, Bessie, who was about 14, I think. And she had gone, so she wanted to come here. And they came to Providence. I don't know why or how my uncle Bonnie Bernard came to Providence, but they came to Providence. And so my mother insisted upon coming here. So they decided. My father came from a wealthy family. He was one of eight or nine, and they were all went to school in London. They could afford it at that time. They sent them to London. As a matter of fact, two of the Pulvers were interned in England while they were attending school. There was a Bernard Pulver in Bridgeport and his brother, younger brother, and they were interned during the war in 1914 when the war started because they were Austrians. Austria and mm-hmm. Germany, of course. Mm-hmm. So they were interned. Well, anyway, to get back to the 90s, so my mother said, my father came here alone. And he said, gee, you came here? As my mother told him, said, they gave me a basket and gave me things and told me to go out and sell them. He didn't like them because it came up, but he didn't go to London to get educated because he had eye trouble. He went to Vienna and had surgery on his eyes, and I think I inherited one of my eyes always tearing, mm-hmm. and I think I may have inherited that from him. And so he couldn't, but he developed a fantastic memory because he had to learn things. He couldn't write too much because of his eye trouble, mm-hmm. so he wasn't advanced as far as that. I know the sisters, I know several of them came. One emigrated to South America, one New York. Well, anyway, and two of them in Canada. So he came here, and he stayed here about 2 months, and then he decided to go back, and he had money. And one day, my mother was pregnant with my younger brother, who passed away a couple of years ago here. She was in the kitchen of the house, and she thought she saw an apparition there, standing there. There was her husband, my father. He didn't tell anybody. He just took a boat and got on the boat and came home. Didn't write at all. And there she was, and she fainted. They picked her, and she was pregnant at the time. She fainted. She saw there was an apparition. She didn't believe it. Well, it took a few months, and then she decided, convinced him that he was to come here.
Mm-hmm. So your parents, your father, you said, had a store, a grocery store?
That's right.
Where the store market is now?
No, across the street in Stalman. That was Oney Street. And mm-hmm. I was brought up from the time I was 3 years old. Mm-hmm. And that's all. I gave a picture in 1903. They took a picture of the store. Mm-hmm. And I gave it to the Historical Society.
We'll have to check
and I got
out.
And I got a letter from Mrs.
Horvitz?
Horvitz, yeah. Mm-hmm. Tell me, the Horvitz, her husband's parents were in the tobacco and candy business on Atwell's Avenue, and they used to come mm-hmm. to the store. We knew them very well. I knew mm-hmm. them, Dr. Horvitz, and I know him. He operated on my eye, as a matter mm-hmm. of fact, and here in an artery. Mm-hmm. So there's a picture in 1903, and she thanked me for it. That was very nice. She has it here in the record.
On the hill.
It is the bottom of the hill. It is where North Main Street is. Uh-huh. It's just up. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful. There are gardens there now.
They've restored that area. Yeah. Yes.
Oh, it's gorgeous. It's nice. Well, I knew every house. Last night I was with Bruce Sundland and his father. The Sundlands lived on Oney Street at 57 only. And Howie Pressel, who died here a few mm-hmm. weeks ago, he was at the next house. I remember, and I went to school with Rose, his sister, And I used to play ball with his older brother, who went to Tech, and he was a beautiful football player. And at 10 and 11 years old, we had a football team and a baseball team. I was quarterback on the football team, and I was a pitcher on the baseball team. And Sam was my first baseman, and he was a fullback. And boy, we beat them all. Morris Avenue, he had a team. We had a league, and we beat them. The only stars are the Morris Avenue stars, and we used to play the league. And we were 10, 11, 12. I was in athletics all the time. Well, I got ahead of my story. Where was I?
Well, we were talking about the store and
yeah.
the location.
And my grandfather had a store, and across the street was a store, a variety. He had a variety store. Arthur Levy was connected mm-hmm. with his wife, she lived there across the street downstairs of the shul. She remembered my grandfather. She used to go there. Harriet, mm-hmm. Harriet Diamond. Mm-hmm. Her name was Diamond. Her Diamond. Uncle was a rabbi in mm-hmm. Chicago. Mm-hmm. And she remembered going to my grandfather's store. And she passed away about 3 years ago.
So your grandfather's store and your father had a store right in the same area?
Well, he had it on North Main Street. Mm-hmm. You know where those new apartment houses yeah. are as you go up the hill there, yeah. St. John? Well, that was just about 30 feet from the beginning of Star Street and mm-hmm. Only Street. They used to call that Constitution Hill.
The way. Yeah.
And he had a store there. His wife died. I remember she died in 1905. I remember I was a little boy. She was taken to the hospital, yes, and my mother cried so. And I remember she waved. She said, I'll see you soon in Yiddish. She passed away at the Rhode Island Hospital in 1905. My grandfather remarried a couple of years later.
What kind of store did your father
Grocery. Grocery and produce. And on the sign, there's Tudor's Tea and Salad of Tea on the sign that had that. And my mother's in the background.
Yeah, I've seen the picture. Your mother and father standing in front of the
Only my father, but my mother's in the store, yeah. and you can barely yeah. make
you
out
can see the
store.
You can see the goods
you
in the
outline,
store.
Yeah. Yeah. My mother went to night school. Those days, they had night school. My mother went to Doyle Avenue Night School. I have some spelling papers that we used to have, the long papers, and she was in the seventh grade, and she had beautiful writing. My mother was pretty and very bright, and did a lot of work for charity. She was the first, she organized the Ladies Auxiliary of Arbor Sholem Shul, which we haven't mm-hmm. had there, and I've got some pictures of the annual meetings. And she knew Hebrew. She used to tell us some funny stories. In Shul, Howell Street Shul. This is the Orthodox mm-hmm. Congregation, and the women would be around, and she could read Hebrew. She had studied a lot of Hebrew, and they didn't know. They just opened the book, and they knew on Yom Kippur, on the Day of Atonement, when you had to cry at certain times, they cried, but they didn't know why they were crying. And my mother used to tell them where it was. And one woman said, she used to tell us a nice story. It's going to bring a laugh. One woman had sent some kishka. That's what is it in English?
Yeah, it's what is kishka? It's a little stuffed.
I know what it is, but yeah, they stuff yeah. it. Well, it's dermis.
Dermis.
Yeah. It's yeah. a skin. Yeah. It looks like a sausage, and they stuff it with chopped meat, mm-hmm. and potato, and yeah. so forth. And one woman got some from another. She said, "Danke for the kishka," thanking her for the kishka they sent over. And so this woman said, "Danke for the." They thought that was all. What they all say, she "Danke for the kishka." My mother tells that story.
It
gets a laugh. They never knew, and then she would tell them what page they were in. Mm-hmm. You know the Insana Tokef, mm-hmm. you know that mm-hmm. where me or me or mus, me or me or me, me bechera, me vadeber, me b'mayim, be b'mayish, fire and water. Who's going fire and water? Be b'mayim, be b'mayish.
Yeah.
I remembered Hebrew. I knew more of it years ago.
Did you go to school? Did you go to Hebrew school after school in those days?
Sure, I did. At Howell
Street. Where did you go? Howell Street.
In 1906. Well, sure. 19 at half past four. After we got out of grammar school, we went to Cheder at 4:30 until 6:30. Mm-hmm. 6:30.
How many times a week did you go?
Every day except Friday and Saturday and Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. And there, we're on the corner of Scott Street and Howell Street.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the Star Market, the whole place,
yeah.
They took Lippert Street and part of Doyle Avenue and went way over to Oney Street. But Oney Street is the housing entrance.
When did that area get torn down, around the 1950s?
In 1960, no, no, late
1960s.
Oh, yes, late, I would think, no, I think it's 70s.
Yeah.
Irving Fain did that. He was a good friend of mine at Temple.
Yeah.
He was president, I was president of Temple, yeah.
Yeah.
I was president for 5 years.
Did you help your father in the store?
Sure
then,
did I. When I graduated from grammar school, I got out at 12 o'clock, and I stopped at two places on Doyle Avenue. They were cousins, my aunt, Steiner, and Linda's, up at Doyle Avenue, halfway from Camp and Hope Street. I took two orders, went home, washed my face, and got ready to graduate from grammar school. And then I delivered the groceries at night.
Uh-huh.
Sure.
What kind of hours did your father keep in the store?
Horrible hours. The stores were open every single night until about 8 or 9, on Thursday night till 11, Saturday night till 11, and Sundays, and we had a large credit. My mother was the bookkeeper, and I'd go out and collect on Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
Even the last time was my freshman year at Brown, then we sold the business.
Mm-hmm.
My father had worked too hard and burned himself out.
What other people in your family helped in the store? Your
mother and my younger brother. And my older brother, Milton, didn't care very much. He went to Bryan Stratton Business School. He later moved to Woonsocket and started the fur business.
Mm-hmm.
His daughter lives in Fall River. She's the wife of the leading doctor there, Sid Rosen. Mm-hmm. And her daughter is a vice president of the New York Times, Melanie.
Mm-hmm.
Melanie Rosen lives in New York. She's vice president of the New York Times. She just went, about 3 months ago, she went to Chicago to pay for a plane, $5 million. She had a check for $5 million she had to pay for it and inspected the plane. That's something.
That's nice.
Melanie's just turned 30, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Brilliant girl, and Dr. Rosen is quite a doctor there in Fall River.
Is that area considered the North End?
Mm-hmm.
Was that called the North End in those days?
That's right. North End was that section, and part of Orme Street was the North End.
Mm-hmm.
North End, Smith Street was too far. Orme Street, Chalkstone Avenue, Charles Street, and back there up to Chalkstone Avenue and Candace Street around there. That was the North End, because South Providence was entirely a different section.
Mm-hmm.
South Providence had four shuls, incidentally,
mm-hmm.
and they were four denominations, like the Benevolent Society, the different sects in the Christian theology. And they had four different ones, the Russian, the Austrian,
maybe others, yeah.
The Romanian,
mm-hmm.
and one more, four. And they got $100,000 from the city when they started the road. They got $100,000. That's the time Bethel was going to move up the east side.
Mm-hmm.
That was it was 1953,
mm-hmm.
because it was finished in 1954, and I was vice president of the temple at that time. And so we had got an offer for Broad Street. That was built in 1910, incidentally.
Mm-hmm.
We got an offer for $115,000. I was chairman of the legal committee, and I was vice president. $115,000. But the four shuls had no place to go, and all they had was $100,000, and they wanted the place.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I'll be darned if I'm going to sell this, whatever I can do. And I got several key trustees to go with me. I said, we're not going to sell that.
So several of the South Providence shuls merged and moved into
the
Bethel.
And we were pretty sure that how could they get along, because they were different sects. You know, they used to argue among themselves, but they had no place to go. And I said at a trustees meeting, I said, we're going to accept that $100,000. Later on, this is an Armenian group, later on they raised it to $140,000. They said, well, the difference of $100,000 and $140,000, we need the money. I said, over my dead body. I said, where are they going? So I got the pictures when we signed the deed, and we sold it to them for $100,000. They had no place to go. And they said they wouldn't get along. They'd be fine. Well, I said, but they'll have a home. Mm-hmm. And then they built a mikveh. We had, mm-hmm. had no mikveh then. Yeah. They had built
them
there. Thanks,
Dan. It was an addition.
So we sold to them for $100,000. That's all mm-hmm. they had. And mm-hmm. and it was fine. It was one of the nicest things I felt that I had done and convinced mm-hmm. the trustees.
Was there any relations between the North Providence, the North End, and the South End when you were growing up?
Not a bit.
People were sort of different communities.
I'll show you. There were two fellows who were in my class at Brown. I never met them. Three altogether. Sam Silverman and Morris Bazaar. Bazaar's father was wealthy. He had Bazaar's Hall. He was sort of the king in South mm-hmm. Providence, Bazaar. Mm-hmm. He was in class after me, and Winkler. Winkler became a doctor, the Winkler family. He was in my class. He went to Harvard Medical School and then roomed with me when I went to Harvard Law School mm-hmm. in Cambridge. Winkler, I'd never met him. Sam Silverman, never met him. And Bazaar, and we met him at Brown. We organized the Menorah Society in my year and my freshman year at that time. Mm-hmm. That was to take care of because we had no Jewish fraternities at that time.
Then you must have worked with Rabbi Rubenstein. Was that the rabbi then who helped?
There's Rubenstein.
Rubenstein with
But he was South. He was Orm Street. Mm-hmm. No, I didn't. We had Siegel. And Siegel in Howell Street. That mm-hmm. was a different
time. The Howell Street Shul.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
so right. I thought Rabbi Rubenstein had something to do with the Menorah Society or
no,
helped out.
No, not
them.
Because no. I was one of the organizers. I was mm-hmm. a freshman, mm-hmm. so they made me secretary. As a matter mm-hmm. of fact, I was looking over some old papers that I want to give the archives at Brown, and I got some stationery there. And the first year, and there I am, secretary, and the others were 1950 and 1916. We had 8 Jewish fellows at Brown. That time, we had no professor at Brown, the Jewish. There were 200 professors at Brown now. They had no professor. We had the rabbi of Bethel used to come there to lecture once a week to the mm-hmm. class in religion. As a matter of fact,
was it Englander in those days?
Who?
Irwin Englander?
Irwin England? No, it wasn't. Mm-hmm. It wasn't Irwin in England. It was before him, but Irwin Englander came.
Later.
Oh, I remember him. Mm-hmm. At, yeah, he brought Rabbi Browder. Henry Englander, wasn't it?
Henry or Irwin? Henry.
Sure, I knew him.
Yeah. So you were one of the first people, the first Jewish boys to go to Brown.
No, because there were 7 in the senior class, 6 in the junior class. So as a matter of fact, I talked to one of the living, Herman Feinstein. Mm-hmm. He has 2 sons here. He was in 1916, mm-hmm. and he was my closest friend. He lived on Pratt Street around the corner from Oney Street. And I talked to him this morning. He's one of my closest friends. Mm-hmm. We were together at the staff meetings this past weekend, but I go with him all the time. He had a leather business, 128 North Main Street. That's a beautiful building. And he was very wealthy. He lived on Oney Street, corner of Camp, mm-hmm. opposite, near the new church.
There's a Baptist church there.
Well, the Baptist church was below. Mm-hmm. It was mm-hmm. about an eighth of a mile down mm-hmm. the street, mm-hmm. and they built that since that time. Mm-hmm. And he was in class of 16. There were 7 or 8 in the class of 1915, the seniors at Brown when I entered. There were 6 in 1916, there were only 5 in 1917, and 8 in 1918, my class. Mm-hmm. We had 3 from Hope, Dr. Kramer, the late Dr. Kramer. Mm-hmm. He graduated from Hope with me. Morris Moskal, M-O-S-K-O-L, he lived mm-hmm. on Chalkstone mm-hmm. Avenue up above. His younger brother was a lawyer. Mm-hmm. He died.
Is it Sam Moskal? Is that the same family?
Not Stan. He
Sam.
Was,
hmm? Samuel?
No,
no,
no, it wasn't Samuel. His name was Samuel. Mm-hmm. His first name escapes me. I know it. That's a result of old age.
No, that's all right. You can remember all these guys in your class.
That's right.
I can't remember who graduated with me.
Oh, yes. We had 8. Well, I can say Dr. Winkler, Moskal, Kramer, Silverman, Adler, Severs, he came from St. Louis. He changed his name to Sip. His older brother was in the class of 16, and he became a doctor. He moved to Florida. Rothstein came from New York. He only went 6 months. And the two Bromson boys, two Bromson boys lived on Doyle Avenue. One died. They were twins. They went to classical. Mm-hmm. They only went 6 months.
Did you go to classical?
No, I went to Hope.
Hope.
Let me tell you about Hope and classical. Classical was the top school. They have 90% of them go to college. Hope had a classical department of about little less than 200. And I said that Hope's classical department was better than classical's. Now, they had entrance prizes in German, French, Italian, mathematics, and German, French, Latin, and Latin. And the year I entered, classical only got one prize. Usually the mathematics prize was won by somebody else from some other high school around the country. Always had a math shock, you know, the shocks in various schools. Classical won once, and I think Hope won once, but usually they were else. But this year, there were only three prizes won by Providence students. Classical had one, and Hope won two of them. And shamefacedly, I'll tell you, I won them both. Latin, and German. Yeah. And then my senior year, I won the Latin prize. It was $125. Now, that doesn't seem big, a lot of money, does it? When I tell you my tuition was $153 a year. I had a $200 scholarship, and when I paid my term bill, they stamped it and gave me money back.
Gave you money back.
I won the Latin prize, my special prize. You only met once a year at the professors, and as a matter of fact, it was scientific Latin, most of it. When I translated, I didn't know what the hell it was. It was a scientific, but I got $125, and my mother was so happy. At graduation, when I went up to get my maybe, and I walked away with my tassel in First Baptist Church to where the candidates for the master's degree. And then I know President Florence said, candidate post hoc gratum magister artium ascende, ascend. And I, after, and so I ascended. Well, I was a Latin scholar, so.
You understood him.
I knew what he said. He said, come up here. And alphabetically, I was A, you know, like Abu Ben Adam, his name lit all the rest.
Mm-hmm.
I recited that Abu Ben Adam again. I was a professor of law. I was a reserve officer in the Second War. And I was a lieutenant colonel finally, and I was in Washington for 17 months when I left my practice and three little girls growing up. And they had an anniversary of 25 years, and so they gave the names of all those who were at the college, the Army Industrial College, and now they call it the College of the Armed Forces because they take Navy officers too. And alphabetically, they were listed, and Abu Ben Adam's name was first, Lieutenant Colonel Walt Adler, and down the list was Major Dwight D. Eisenhower. So I was in pretty good company.
Good company, good
yeah.
company.
Yeah.
So, did you recall any of the things that went on in the North End? There was a political leader named Jake Eaton.
Jacob
Eaton.
Remember
Jake Eaton?
Oh, I sure do. He was the fire station was midway down the hill. We call it Constitution Hill. There's curves about halfway down. It curves a little, and it goes parallel to Charles Street in back of it. And Jacob A. Eaton, he was one of the founder tour. He was quite a fellow, and he was a councilman, and I remember going to meetings there, watching them in the caucuses, and on the fire station. The fire station had one side was a big wardroom, and then it came down some steps, and the fire engine was on Charles Street. That was Fawzies.
Mm-hmm.
Hose Four. We used to call it Fawzies. Sure, I knew Jacob Eaton, big husky fellow, never married. He was Hungarian.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
the Hungarian.
Yeah, he was quite a fellow. Yeah, he started Judge Johnson, the father of the
current president.
Yeah, Philip C. Johnson, who was the first president of Temple Emanuel, was there. He taught him, and Sol Bromson was an alderman, Sal Bromson was an alderman when I was assistant city solicitor, as a matter of fact. They put in a good word for me when I was a young man.
Jake Keaton was Republican, wasn't he?
Yes, yeah. So was I. Yeah. Still am.
Do you remember sort of the organizational work for the
No,
for the
but they got together,
days?
Jake Eaton, Bromson, and Phil Joshlin. Mm-hmm. Those are three. And there's another one, Willie Behrman, who later went to Washington. Mm-hmm. He has some family here.
How would they do to line up votes? Do they have picnics or
what?
Parades?
Oh, we have picnics. On Sunday, the different organization had picnics, and the horse and buggy went to Palace Gardens, was in Warwick. That is an hour and a quarter ride, and the Howell Street, you'll have a Sholem Shield, the lovers of peace, mm-hmm. I have a Sholem mm-hmm. in Hebrew. And so those were great. Went along Elmwood Avenue, beautiful street, paved, smooth, elm trees on both sides, it's gorgeous. And it went down and then into Broad Street and Broad Street Bridge, as you know, down the end of Broad Street into Warwick. And that you went around about a mile from the Broad Street Bridge there, the end of Broad Street. Was Palace Gardens. You went under these big horse chestnut trees, and it rained. It didn't rain down on you. Had these, and we used to go these buggies and two horse buggies, and the tally hoes. The women had an organization. Men had Philomathians and Criterions, young men's groups. And they had baseball team, and YMHA juniors. I was president at the time. We had a room at 128 North Main Street. We paid $5 a month next to H. Beck, the printer. Mm-hmm. His two sons were physicians, three sons were physicians. One of them spoke here at Brown mm-hmm. last year. And I pitched, and we had uniforms. I pitched in the morning. We had to play in the morning, and the big fellas played in the afternoon there with the big shots. But of course, we were kids. I was about 14 years old. I pitched three or four in him, and I was tired, and I was peaked, and my mother gave me hell, because I gave him all I could, gave my all.
So would you go out on Sundays, and everybody go out there on Sundays for picnics
Sundays,
and games?
Yeah, that was wonderful. It was an hour and a half, and this great spread. And when it rained, those trees were enormous, and when it rained, and the leaves were large, so the rain didn't go through there, mm-hmm. and we were in there and let it rain.
In the shelter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Really nice.
When Jews started to move into North Main, there were some comments made that I've read where the people who had lived there, Yankees or Irish, weren't too happy about the
incomers. I'll tell you, there were three Jewish families when we got there. And we got there in 1900 about. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Freddie Wilson, who lived down in the cross street, he was English. There were two saloons at the corner, each corner of Oney Street, Boylan and Boyle, and they were Irish, and they never talked to each other. They were very angry. Mrs. Boyle was a stern and very nice woman. My mother liked her. She didn't speak very much, but and they half a little resented. There was a little resentment, but they didn't show it because my mother was a very nice person, outgoing, and everybody loved her. Everybody loved her. So Freddie Wilson and Tommy Casey, who lived in Dingley Court, there's a little street off Oney Street, it would go up about 200 yards. Tommy Casey was one of my closest friends, and Bobby Gartland. Bobby Gartland went to Holy Cross, Tommy didn't. And I used to like Tommy Casey's little sister. She had blue eyes and blonde. We were 10 or 11 years old. But no, they didn't. Then they started to move up. The Gertz's were on there, and that's all. Round corner on Pratt Street, my cousin, my uncle, Pulver, the two Lindas, Bassick, and Firestein, four families around Pratt Street. Pratt Street is a mm-hmm. wonderful place, street now, mm-hmm. gorgeous. They were there, and that's all the first Jews are there. Mm-hmm. Then later on, the Sunlands came. They were 57. They were about 150 yards mm-hmm. up, and then the Pressel house. Mm-hmm. Pressel built the house, three-story, the Turkles, and Pressels, and another Sternture. He went to Brown, mm-hmm. Nathan Sternture, class of Ord 8. Mm-hmm. He went to Brown, the oldest son. And the father was a diamond setter. As a matter of fact, we go to, some years later, go to Prospect Street. Pressel built a three-decker house, and the Fanes lived there. Irving Fane was born there, mm-hmm. the Fane family then. Oh, yes, on Pratt Street. Later on, there was Mrs. Grossman and Stoneman. Stoneman was the mother, the Stonemans were the mother of Mrs. Fain, Selma Fain's mother. She was a Stoneman, and she married Fain. Mm-hmm. They were the cousins of the other Fains who were in Oneyville at the time. And Feinstein's came up from Oney Street.
So before the war, it got to be maybe 10 or 12, or maybe more?
Oh, more than that, more than that. The war was 14. Oh, about 10 years.
10, yeah.
Yeah, 10, not 12 years, mm-hmm. because the war was 1914. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, I graduated from Hope in 1914. Mm-hmm. 2 weeks later, the Archduke of Austria was assassinated at Sarajevo, mm-hmm. where they had the Olympics.
Yeah.
And I entered Brown in the fall of 1914, mm-hmm. and I prepped in the fall and said, the thing, science has done some wonderful things. Look at what we have, the telephone, the radio, and so forth, and yet also the instruments of destruction. This war is going mm-hmm. on, and so forth. I remember that opening speech. It made a great impression on me, 1914, mm-hmm. September.
So you went through Brown, and then you said you served in World War One.
That's right.
After you finished your...
That's right. I went to Officer School of Virginia.
Degree.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And when I came out after the armistice in 1918, November 11th, the Treaty of Paris was a year later, mm-hmm. 1919, so I wanted a job. I couldn't enter law school that I wanted to, business school at Harvard. I went to business school later. So I got a job with Gorham's on Allen's Avenue. The Gorham's were doing war work. I worked for them during the summer while I was waiting for my papers to come through to go to law to officer school. I worked for Gorham's about four or five weeks, a couple of months,
mm-hmm.
almost, not quite 2 months. And they were making munitions. When I got out of the Army, Christmas 1918, I waited a day and I went down to see my old friends that I worked at. I worked 4 or 5 weeks. They said, what the hell are you doing now? I says, I don't know. I says, I can't go to school. I'm going to graduate school. It's too late. I have to wait a year. Well, come back in the morning. Get back to work. So I went back to work. Now, I had worked in East Providence. They had an munitions plant. Powder, which was like dynamite, nitro starch.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that I was scared because you had to have no metal on you, ignited and so forth. And they had dogs and a moat, a lot of water. And if it ever exploded, it would not only knock these problems out, but the good part of the east side, if it ever exploded. And I was scared then. And so they said, well, listen, we're working on our claim against the government. Now help us work on this. I made some cost figures on the plant and there at 56480. That's that big plant where Allen's Avenue starts and Eddy Street goes up toward the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's 56480. And I had a great time. Whenever I wanted to get East Problems, I'd call up the Gorham plant up above there, and the chauffeur would come with a car and a Cadillac, and me, a little guy, was sitting in the back there with the chauffeur. I loved it, and I went there, did that half a dozen times. Of course, I was a cost accountant. I'd studied accounting my senior year at Brown. So they said, work on this. Then came a day when the agent for the government came in to go over the claim that they had. It was a little over $2 million. And they said, I want you to be here. He's coming tomorrow. Be sure to come here. We looked through the windows, and they were all you know, fidgety a little. This guy had coming. Who the hell is it? Was a fellow who was a junior at Brown, my friend Frank O'Brien, who later was a lawyer. I said, dude, that's Frank O'Brien, my pal. They came downstairs, the two colonels. Come on down here and meet him. I came down and meet him. Took about 4 or 5 hours. We settled a claim of $2 million, and they doubled my salary when I went to business school at Harvard. I did a job for them, doubled my salary. I went there 1 year of a two-year course, and I always wanted to study law, so I went across the street, so to speak, and spent the next 3 years at law school. That's my education.
That's interesting. let's see.
That has nothing to do with Oney Street.
No, well, that's okay.
By that time, I had lived on Halsey Street. Oh, we lived in the Gorham House, and there's a plaque on there. Beautiful. Three rooms, Yeah, up on Halsey Street, right on the corner of Pratt, as you go up.
But you came back after the war and you found a job within a couple of days. Was that usual, or was it tough times in those days?
Well, it was a tough time. No, I had the inn.
Yeah.
A couple of days. They didn't want me to even have a week's vacation.
What about other people coming back?
Oh, yeah. It was hard. Sure, it was hard. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, I just finished 10 years as president of the Legal Aid Society here in Rhode Island. And I cite that beginning of the Legal Aid Society, one of the first three in the country, 1921. We were famished. The country was impoverished because of the amount of money that had to be spent on munitions and so forth. And so people needed advice, and the poor people couldn't afford it, and they didn't have jobs, and that's how the Legal Aid Society was mm-hmm. founded. Mm-hmm. I just completed 10 years, mm-hmm. a week, 10 days ago.
Do you remember what it was like in Providence in terms of shopping, the outlet company and places
sure.
like that?
My older brother worked in the outlet company all day Saturday. He got 50 cents. All day Saturday, 50 cents.
That was his part-time job? He did that
that's right.
while he was going to school?
Yes, he was going to Bryan and Stratton.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's Bryan College. Yeah, it was yeah. Bryan Stratton. It was on a top floor of the Butler Exchange Building, which is across the street from the arcade.
Mm-hmm.
Now the Industrial Trust is on that site.
Mm-hmm.
That was the Butler Exchange Building. It had Dodge and Campfield, was a retail grocery store on the bottom that catered to the exclusive good trade. They sold liquor and high-grade groceries, and the others were offices. And on top floor was Bryan and Stratton.
Mm-hmm. So your brother got 50 cents a day at the
outlet. Outlet company. Sure, they just got $3 a week then.
Mm-hmm.
That when you worked there?
Standard wage.
Sure, $3 yeah. a week and 50 cents on Saturday, and they worked on Saturdays until 9 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Well, everything was open on Saturdays. Between my first and second year at the law school, I worked for the title company on South Main Street. They're still there near the courthouse. You know what I got? $10 a week for 5.5 days, and I was at law school. My grandson is at law school now. He's getting through at NYU. He graduated from Brown in 78. And he went with APA in Washington for a couple of years. He got $400 a week last summer working for them. $400 a week, and I went back to law school with $1,100. I worked 11 weeks for $10 a week. I lived at home, so I had spending money. And I went back with $1,100, and he gets $400 a week.
That probably doesn't go too much further anyway.
Well, that shows you the differences. Yeah. Well, I know we had the grocery store. I remember flour was 4 cents a pound. A big bag of 24 and a half pounds of flour went for between 90 cents and a dollar. I saw an ad in the paper, a 5-pound bag for $1.11. 5-pound mm-hmm. bag. Salt was a cent a pound. I know the best sardines, the Norwegian sardines and olive oil, were 15 to 17 cents a can. Now they're a dollar and a quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Salmon was 22, a half pound of salmon, was the best salmon was 19 to 23 cents a pound. Now it's $1.25 or $1.50,
mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
same thing.
Yep.
Sugar was 6 cents a pound, now it's 30 cents a pound. And I tell my wife, I said, Walter, come on, don't live in the old ages. I said, I can't help it, darling. I said, I'm just telling you what I know. I hated to go in the market because I worked hard in the grocery store all those years. But sure.
You worked in the store right through your high school years.
That's right. I didn't work anywhere else.
Did you go
to
college?
I worked at Brown.
Even when you went to college? Did you live at
home? 1 year. My father sold it and went
uh-huh.
in 1 year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He retired?
As a matter of fact, he retired. He worked hard. I had 5 jobs in my senior year, and I played baseball, and I was on track, and I took 2 degrees, and I had 5 jobs. I did accounting, took census, the United States Census. I know I went, had Charles Street.
In 1920?
In 1920,
yeah.
I was in college then. So I had, I was in college.
It could have been the mid-year, the mid one, the 15, the day with
15. 15, yeah.
1915.
Sure they did, because I was in college. And I went, I had the Charles Street area, Chalkstone Avenue, Charles Street, and the McQuaid Street, the little street off Charles Street it was, and it's in the back of the shul then, at Orme Street Shul. Now it's gone, and the hotel is there.
Yeah.
I went in there and I said, I told him, I showed him my badge and I said, I'm taking census. He said, you're Walter Adler. Here I am in college, freshman. He says, I was your teacher at Benefit Street Primary School. Do you remember Miss Walsh? Oh, yes, Miss Walsh. And she was a sister of Judge Walsh, and Raymond Walsh. They were two lawyers, and Charlie Walsh was Chief Justice of the Superior Court in Providence, and he was the principal of night schools. When he was a young lawyer, he was the principal of night schools in Providence. She says, I watched you, and he said, I noticed when you were in the debating team at Brown, there was an article in the paper, I've watched you since. I saw Miss Walsh. And I told that, oh, yes, and I told that to Judge Walsh several times. He said, Walter, I've got to be awfully careful in anything I do. When you have a case before me, I could be very careful, and my sis will give me hell. He told me that, and it was cute. Very cute. He said, I've got to be very careful to do that because my sister's watching your career. Charles A. Walsh, he was a good judge too, very good. He was presiding justice of the Superior Court. And his brother Raymond, Walsh, and they were in that building, the industrial.
Well, you must have seen, Rod, from when you were growing up in the teens, at least up until World War One, there must have been a tremendous influx of Jews at that time into Providence.
Oh, they were coming in.
Population.
Oh, yes, they were coming in. North Main Street, North Main Street, Constitution Hill from the corner of Benefit Street. Mm-hmm. That was O'Hare's drugstore at the time, now it's lawyers.